This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Elvis Costello seems to delight in changing his musical stripes every few years. This fall, his evolution continues with two simultaneous releases that couldn't be more different. There's Elvis Costello showing his grit as a songwriter on a rock album called The Delivery Man, and then there's Elvis Costello displaying his grace as a composer on a CD called Il Sogno, recorded with the London Symphony Orchestra. Il Sogno is an adaptation of Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream. The magical tale of devotion and deception had already been scored for the stage by legendary composers such as Felix Mendelssohn and Benjamin Britten. An Italian dance company called Atabaletto asked Costello to write music for a midsummer ballet. The group gave Costello broad latitude in developing a score, but when he saw an early performance, he knew exactly where the music needed to go.
They were using adaptations of Bach and Stravinsky that night as the music. So it seemed natural to me to suggest that the music for A Midsummer Night's Dream would be orchestral. It was only later on they told me that they didn't initially imagine it would be orchestral as they'd asked me to do it. I think I took them by surprise, and before any of us knew what we were doing, I had undertaken to write an hour more of orchestral music.
How familiar were you with A Midsummer Night's Dream? Had you read it? Were you familiar with the Mendelssohn
productions? And I wasn't, oddly enough, familiar with the most famous musical adaptations of it. People have asked me, did I immediately go and listen to Mendelssohn? In fact, I made a point of not doing that. And it was a shock to me when I listened eventually to Britten and discovered that Puck was represented by tambourine, because in my score, he's a jazz fairy.
I'd like to listen to a couple of the tracks, and if you could, walk us through.
This music here is setting the scene for the forest, the lovers entering the forest for the first time. And some of the curiosity they're finding in that new environment. And now we're getting more inside to the forest, the unusual environment. And the juxtaposition of this melody over this repeated figure. And it's just a little sourness to the melody to hint at the uncertainty. We're returning to the ideas of the opening now. Maybe looking back to where they've come.
For a long time, the music existed only on paper and in your head. When you first heard the orchestration, how did it hit you?
Really, the first time I heard it was when I went to rehearsals in Bologna. And, you know, as most people will tell you, Italian orchestral rehearsals can be chaotic affairs. And, I mean, it didn't help that there'd been some misunderstandings about the instrumentation, and the orchestral management believed that I was calling for a harpsichord, when in fact I was calling for a hammer dulcimer. I also discovered that, you know, when I was asked whether something was good, I'd say, yes, it's tremendous, but there's a word in Italian which sounds very much like tremendous, which has a negative meaning. I would say it sounds tremendous, and they would all look horrified. It's like,
You know, these two projects, the juxtaposition of these two projects, you just finished working on a score which was, you know, protracted and arduous and took months and months and months. And then you turn your attention to this. You head down to Oxford, Mississippi, where many of the recordings were taken on the first take. It's much more impulsive. It seems like that's much closer to the kind of work that you've done over the years.
It seems as if they're very contrasting, but in fact, I've worked on and off on The Delivery Man for 5 years. I got this fire, so rip some parts in a gentle Jesus, meek and mild. I got this holly that I'm stuck with, carrying another man's child.
solitary star announcing vacancy, burn out as we arrived to throw us back across the border. They knew that we'd survive, and they were surprised to see us, so they greeted us with palms. They asked for ammunition, acts of contrition, and small arms. And I might recite a small prayer if I ever said that.
And both of the projects that you've released this fall, they're really both about storytelling in many ways. In that sense, what's the difference between composing and songwriting as you're telling a story?
Well, there are no words in El Sonia, except the words of the original Shakespeare play, which give us the characterizations, they give us the narrative. The Delivery Man is a collection of songs and express the feelings and the personalities or characters contained in that story.
Abel was able, so Vivian said. Her shoulders flung forward, her lips a purse. She talks like the beauty that she never was. The fabulous wild nights that she never has. In a certain light, he looked like Elvis. In a certain way, he feels like Jesus. Everyone dreams of him just as they can, but it's only the humble delivering man.
Is it true that this was inspired by a real-life character that you'd read about in the newspaper?
It's a story that I've been pondering since I heard it, about a man who had spent most of his life in prison for relatively petty offences that had just accumulated to a life of incarceration. And 30 years into that, he had confessed to a murder that he committed when he was 10 years old. And so Abel's secret that he carries, the reason that the women sort of half recognise him and make these improbable comparisons that you hear in The Delivery Man, is because they may have seen his picture in the paper as a child. And so he's reminiscent, but they don't see him as he looks now.
In a certain light, he looked like Elvis. In a certain way, he felt like Jesus.
Can I ask you to do something with me? Go back, if you would, to the late 1970s, and try to remember, somehow get in touch with the man that you were then. And I wonder if you put Il Sogno in his hands, how would he consider that work? What would he think of it?
I would hope that even then I wouldn't have just been sneering at it because it was the work of somebody older. I mean, I always had respect for things of the past, unlike a lot of people of my generation isn't the right word, but from the scene that I came out of in 1977, scene in London, people would tend to be dismissive of the past, or they had very short memories about what music of quality was. I didn't hold to that philosophy at all, and I think it's evident in all the work I've done.
Elvis Costello, it's been great talking to you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
You can hear more music from Elvis Costello at our website, npr.org.